I believe we're all longing for deeper connection with the people in our lives. We crave acknowledgement that what we do makes an impact, that who we are matters. Making space for conversations that matter will intentionally engage in meaningful conversations. I'm Laura Prisk, and in this podcast, I'm going to talk with people who have sparked my curiosity and created the desire to understand what matters most to them. I invite you to join me. Have you ever been told a story or read a story where someone makes a significant life change, a new career, move to a new city, something along those lines? And as they're telling the story, they say, well, you know, this was going on, and so I just did this. And they make it sound as if making that major transition was just simple, quick, easy, and painless. I've heard that, and I've read that, and I've often wondered about it because you can't just do anything. There's always a much bigger story behind that four-letter word. But also, I know that it's probably not that simple, not that easy, not that fast, not that painless. At least it's never been in my life. And so today in my episode, I'm talking with Kyle Heater. And you're going to love her. She just was so fun. I really enjoyed this conversation. She made a major life transition. And as we talk about it a little bit today, she explains that it wasn't simple, it wasn't fast, it wasn't easy, it wasn't painless. In fact, it took her years. But she knew it was the right thing to do, and so she persisted. And so I just want to share her with you today so that if you're contemplating, if you're longing for, if you're in the middle of, if you're thinking about some major life shift that is calling to you, to know that you're not alone. And that it's not going to happen in 30 seconds or less. We also talk some about vulnerability in expressing one's authentic self and examining our beliefs about what is possible. And we get into something that I found very fascinating, which is the field of energy healing. So you're really going to love today's podcast. I hope you just jump right in. And when you're done, please let me know what you think of it and how it went for you. Welcome to today's episode of Making Space for Conversations That Matter with Laura Prisk and today's guest, Kyle Heater. Hello, hello, hello. Today, I am so excited to be talking with my friend, Kyle Heater. Kyle is trained as a nurse, has her Bachelor of Science in Nursing, her Registered Nursing Certification, and has shifted her work from nursing to energy healing, which I totally found fascinating. Kyle and I connected a while back when I was presenting a women's retreat, and she was one of the participants. And I found my time with her absolutely fascinating, and I knew that I would reconnect with her later to dig deeper into who she is and how she got where she is and the work that she's doing. And I trust that you will find it as fascinating as I do. So Kyle, good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. I'm honored.
I'm so glad you made the time to be here with me today. So I want to jump right in. And, you know, I know you made a significant career change. And we talked a little bit about that at the retreat, that you weren't really getting the kinds of opportunities to do real patient care that you first got into nursing for. Mm-hmm. And I know that, you know, making those kinds of career changes can be scary and daunting and uncertain. And so a lot of people will retreat back into that comfort of, you know, even though it's stressful or crummy or unsatisfying, I'm going to stay here because I know what this space is. But you didn't do that. You were brave and courageous and you forged ahead. So tell me about that shift.
Well, to start off with, and to be honest, it took me a long time. And I think that's important to know, that just because it takes a long time doesn't mean it's not going to happen. So I nursing is something I love. I love the profession of nursing. I love helping people. But the job that I had was not, I wasn't seeing enough of a change. I wasn't connecting deeply as I would like to connect with people. And so I searched for years on how to connect deeply with people. I worked with a healer. My family worked with a healer for about 20 years, and I knew that I could do that. I knew that I had the empathy to do that, but I let a lot of things get in the way for a long time. And so what happened was I finally stopped and listened to what I wanted, and that doesn't come easily. I realized I was uncomfortable and anxious and easily angered, and I didn't want to go to work. And so I tried to listen, and you'll find these funny stories kind of funny, I hope. I did this twice, so I had a job I didn't like, and I knew I needed to quit, but I couldn't make myself quit because, like you said, there was that security and that comfort, and I knew exactly how to do it, and all those questions of what would happen if I changed. And I found a lump in my breast. And my first thought was, uh-oh. And my second thought was, I'm quitting my job. Apparently, I need big things to happen to wake me up. it was a benign lump. I quit my job that day. You know, I gave my 2-week notice. I quit my job. It was a benign lump. That was fine. Second time around, I'm in another job and I'm feeling the same. And I'm not listening, and I'm not listening, I'm not listening. And I fell and really, really hurt my knee. And my first thought was, you know, uh-oh. And my second thought was, I have to quit my job. I'm hoping that I get better at listening to the more subtle emotional hints that something needs to change. Because I don't want to go through all that again, either one of those things or something different. I think it's important to remember that it takes time sometimes and not to give up. Yeah, you listen to your emotions and you sit with them and you ask, why do I feel like this? How can I make changes? What are my emotions trying to tell me? Why am I having these? What's coming up for me? And then ask for guidance. And you can ask for guidance from whoever your guides are, whatever religion you have, or, you know, universal energy or light or whatever it is, and then do your best to listen and make a plan that suits well. I don't know that just diving off the diving board into the deep end is my way of doing it. I'm sure there are other people that do it that way. But for me, it was a long process. And I think it's important. It's really what I learned in the process was, I want to make a change, and the time, the space between knowing you want to make a change and actually making that change is in itself healing, and everything you learn in between there is the journey truly where you learn a lot about yourself.
Oh, I love that. So the space between knowing that you want to make a change, and actually making the change is healing, and the journey along the way is where you do the learning.
It is. It's where the work happens. It's the hard part, because then when you finally get to the point where you are going to make the change, you're ready. So the actual change is sort of, you fall into it, but the getting there is, for me, was the hard part. It's kind of lonely making changes like that. You know, you can talk to your friends and you can talk to your people, but it's still your journey. And you can read books to help you, but it's still your journey, and it's still unique, and you have to stand on your own 2 feet and find that way for yourself.
Yeah, this brings up so many different ideas. One is about, you know, and my mentors have reinforced this lesson with me so many times. It's kind of the, you know, do you pay attention to the little tickle on the side of your cheek, or do you ignore it, pretend it's not there? You know, all those little tiny nudges and whispers that you get until finally you get hit with the 2x4.
Right.
Hey, dummy, you're not listening, you know?
Yes.
Let me make you fall and hurt your knee, right?
Exactly.
And so it is often for us those monumental things where it's like, okay, I really have to do something. And that's so common. Like, you know, I think even people who really know still do it.
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah. Because it's easier to stay in that comfort zone even when it's crummy until finally you get to something that is just so aggravating, so uncomfortable. So like for me, if I ignore the little whispers, I get to a point where I physically feel agitation in my body. Like if I don't do something different about this right now, I am literally going to explode.
Yes.
And that's not a good place to be either. You know, I find it's better for me if I listen earlier.
I agree. Yes. And I hope I've learned to listen earlier. I know I have. And if you don't listen earlier and something happens again that forces you to make changes, that's part of what you're learning. There it is again. Here we go again. Okay. I'll try to listen better next time.
Well, and it intrigues me too about that listening part, because as a society, we are so programmed, especially today with social media and all the technology and all of our devices and the pace of everything, we don't feel like it's okay to simply sit in stillness and listen. And it's kind of scary because like real stuff bubbles up when you do.
Oh, it's terrifying. Yes. It can be very scary. Yeah. And it's a quiet, sometimes lonely journey, even if you share, you know, you have the people you share with and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, you don't really see a lot on social media. I actually slowed down today and was in my mind for a minute. You know, I learned so much when I got quiet today. It's more, nobody's going to have a big party for that or recognize you or give you a lot of likes or anything like that. And so it's for me, it's a very quiet journey. And it's a quiet journey of recognizing yourself, your spirit for yourself, rather than needing somebody else to tell you that you're doing well or that you're, you know, that or recognizing what you're going through. It can be a very quiet journey and people don't know you're even doing it sometimes.
Mm. Oh, I like that. Silent travelers along the way.
Yes. Yeah.
So the other thing I hear you saying, and tell me if I'm getting this right, is as we're going through this journey, there's a piece of it that's about the becoming, you know, becoming the next best version of ourselves, the next, you know, whoever we're growing into. And also part of that process that we don't talk about as much, I think, is the unbecoming. Mm-hmm. Like releasing pieces and parts of ourselves that no longer serve us, or unlearning lessons or beliefs that no longer serve us.
Yes, and that is sometimes we respond, not sometimes, but often, we respond habitually, and our responses come from our family of origin, they come from our culture. And they protect us because they're secure. We know what's going to happen. And so those are definitely very hard to let go of. And well, I guess really the hardest part, I think, is to recognize those habits. And that's another part of just sitting. So why did I respond this way? Is this really expressing who I am by this response? And so habits are very hard to break, but I think really even harder to recognize. And you do leave your habits behind, some of them, as much as, you know, you leave some of those habits behind. And that's scary and fun. And, you know, I think the best thing is to try and find joy in the discovery of all that stuff.
Yeah. It's, you know, as you know, part of the work that I do with some of the people I work with around doing that kind of excavation and discovery around those core beliefs, you know, to discern, have I just taken this on from someone else without examining it and discerning whether or not it's actually truth? Does it fit me? Does it serve me? And, you know, in some cases, they are perfectly sound and true for us, and we can keep them. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they need modified. Sometimes they need just, you know, thrown out like so much garbage and replaced with something newer and healthier. But we can't really move forward intentionally in our lives until we do that exploration about what is true for us.
Yes, and it doesn't take that much change to make a difference. It can be something really pretty small. It can be making a different choice a couple of times to create a new pattern. And it might be something that is very subtle. It can be a very subtle change that makes, ultimately can make a big difference. And when you take a little habit and you change it a little bit and you have a subtle change, I think you rewire your brain to say, oh, that wasn't so bad. Let's try it with something else. Let's take another step. Let's challenge another habit. And it becomes easier as you learn to trust that the world, your world, isn't going to fall apart by making small changes. And that actually it's very freeing and powerful and energetically opening to do that.
Now I've got two paths to go down. One is, you know, that makes me think of, I recently read a book called Atomic Habits by James Clear. And, you know, he talks about creating the discipline to create new habits. And he's got, you know, just some really fabulous, simple ways to think about doing this that really resonated with me. But one of the things that really caught me was thinking into, as we were talking about a minute ago, like, who is the person you long to become? Mm-hmm. And he said, when you can define and identify and articulate what that is that you desire to become, then you think about, well, what are the habits of that person? Mm-hmm. Like, what does that kind of person do with their time and with their energy and with food and with exercise and with learning or, you know, whatever? And so when I was reading that, that really made it clearer and more anchoring, I guess, for me to think, okay, if I want to change something, it's not just about creating some new habit and the consistency and discipline about it, but really about who am I longing to be next, and shifting my behaviors and practices and thought patterns even and habits to be able to do that.
I agree with that on a lot of levels, but I do think there's pressure in that to know who you want to be. And sometimes I think it's more open-ended. If I make choices to change my habits or respond differently or to respond to something that typically makes me angry, if I respond to that with compassion, gosh, what am I trying to say? I kind of leave it open-ended as far as, where is that going to lead me? Rather than, because I just can't think that clearly down the road, I guess, about who I want to be, except to say, I would like to be more loving, more compassionate, more open, you know, more confident, clearer, those kind of things. But I do like, for me, it's a little bit of making these small steps and then waiting to see who shows up after those changes start happening. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does. And so that actually leads me right into the next path that I wanted to kind of go down. So, you know, you've made a lot of little steps that turned into bigger steps and, you know, created this transition from one career to a new career. So can you tell me a story about some of those little shifts that you made that were big and the impact they have on the people that are close to you in your life? Because I know when, you know, when we're close with people, they kind of know who we are and what they can expect of us. But when we start making those shifts and changes, it upsets the apple cart a little bit because now we're a little bit new and different.
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. And I love it because the name of my business is Shift Energy Work. And I love shifts. Mm. I love that you can shift a little bit or a lot and that it makes a difference. One of the shift for me and is that I'm a very private person. And so becoming an energy worker in a small town is a little bit, it's like coming out. And I really wrestled with that for a long time, several years. And so I put it out to the universe. I want to be different in my response to who I am as an energy worker. I want to be more confident. I want to come out as who I am. I want to be able to express myself without fear and without that fear of vulnerability. And so I put that out there, and I think a lot of little shifts took place that I didn't even realize were happening. I opened myself to that. I allowed I talk to myself a lot. I'm allowing these shifts to change, to happen. I'm allowing for this to open for me. But it was a couple of years. And at one point, it felt like this. I suddenly woke up and fear and that vulnerability, or the fear of the vulnerability was gone. And it was suddenly like, oh, so this feels really good. I can be out there. So I painted my door yellow of my office, and it's downtown. So I painted it a bright yellow to say, here I am. And I started saying yes to things that typically I would have said no to, so I could hide away and be in my little shell and just quietly do my energy work. So, you know, I opened up. it was funny. I opened up, I approached people, and suddenly people were there that have really opened things up for me. It's absolutely been amazing. So as much as I wrestle with vulnerability, once I opened up to that and got happy with it and found joy in it, a huge shift happened. I feel completely different about that part of my life. As far as people around me, I believe the energy work guides my behavior. So I feel like I vibrate at a higher level. I'm more open. I'm more compassionate. I'm more loving. I'm less judgmental. And rather than try to make people, you know, my kids or my husband behave how I want them to, I just am with them, more open and aware and allowing them to be who they are. And so I don't think it's been very difficult for my family to adjust. I think they probably like me better. Because I'm open, I'm more open, I'm more compassionate for them. And so really, the shift has been, it's just been so freeing and so opening. And it's allowed me to let those people around me be free and open and who they are.
Oh, I love that. And it is so nice to be in a space where you can really, truly, authentically be who you are and release the the cloaks and the shields and the masks that we tend to put on for who we think we're supposed to be in the world or to be safe.
Oh, it's mind-blowing, actually. I had no idea. I knew I wanted to be there, but actually being there is way more, it's bigger than I thought it would be. It's great, yeah.
So, you know, I have this kind of preconceived notion, and I suspect, you know, a lot of people kind of do, when you talked about being an energy worker in a small town is like coming out. What exactly does coming out mean to you?
It is, I've lived in this small town in West Virginia for a long, long time, raised my children here, have friends, you know, here, and people know me as a certain type of person. And so changing their perception of me and allowing them to see me on a deeper level, which is what you have to do if you're an energy worker, and just allowing people to see me like that. You know, energy work is, some people are pretty uncomfortable with it. And so allowing people to see me for who I am is really that's the difficulty that I have. And that's where I've gotten much more comfortable.
Well, you know, it's funny. What I'm thinking as you're saying that is it's really, really attractive because I think everybody longs to be able to kind of know and understand and really just be who they are. So it's freeing and it's inspiring and it's also terrifying.
Oh, it's very terrifying when you do engage, it's not always positive. You know, people roll their eyes or, you know, they get a little defensive or they, you know, they kind of poo-poo things or they kind of give you this sense of, well, who do you think you are to be able to do that? And so I guess that's part of what I had to prepare myself for too was not taking that so personally, understanding that people come from a lot of different places and they might not understand it and it might make them uncomfortable. And I feel really, I don't take it personally at all. And so that's another shift for me too. And to just allowing people to have their own feelings about what I'm doing and engaging when they want to engage, but not forcing myself on people.
Yeah, I think it's the, you know, that fear of the unknown, the lack of understanding. And it can make some people so uncomfortable to be in space with someone who's not uncomfortable with the discomfort. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not taking in their energy of what they don't understand or what their fear is or their misperceptions might be or whatever. And you're really just able to say, what you see is what you get. This is who I am. This is what I have to offer in the world. And I'm good here. It's that confident vulnerability that we talked about at the retreat.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I find humor helps in those situations a lot too. You know, if people are uncomfortable, it's easy for me to say, you know, to have fun with it. I see you're really uncomfortable. I am making you so uncomfortable, aren't I, right now? And you know, we don't need to talk about this. This is, you know, people come to me when they're ready and there's, you know, you don't have to believe in this. And I'm totally okay with that. I like to be open with people and to say, I can see this is something you're having a hard time with. Don't worry about it. It's completely fine. I understand. And to be compassionate for people who have a hard time with that kind of stuff.
When you're in space with someone, what I found, because I had an experience recently with a woman who, from a StrengthsFinder perspective, has high empathy. That's her number one thing. And mm-hmm. and high empathy, as you know, is that you tune in to the energy, to the undertones, to the unspoken things. You see the connections between things that other people look at and say, oh, that's random, that's disconnected, this has nothing to do with that. And it can be disconcerting being in space with someone who has that gift when you realize they have it, because then you know they really see you.
Yeah.
They really are aligned with, like you were talking about, the vibrational frequency of what's rolling off you. And so I was at another women's retreat with a friend of mine in California, and she said, I want you to share a story about something you're really passionate about with another participant here. And so I sat down with this woman, her name's Christina, and I was talking to her about SeaWorld and what I think of us having whales in captivity. Hmm. And so when I got done, you know, 2 minutes telling her my story and what I thought about it, her job was to reflect back to me what she heard.
Mm-hmm.
And what I was expecting was her to paraphrase the story I had told her and come to some conclusion about, you know, how she heard my opinion come across. It's not what I got at all. I mean, she literally, it was like someone gave her the Laura Prisk operating manual with details about me at my essence. Then all I could do was cry.
Mm-hmm. Somebody saw you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. I do think people are afraid of that. And I try to be very reassuring that, you know, the energy work that I do, it comes from a place of compassion and being non-judgmental and intentional about getting the client getting what they need. I don't see deep, dark secrets. I might see congestion in the field. I might see, you know, have heat in the field, and I might be able to think, oh, this is coming from a place of, you know, family of origin, but I don't see the deep stuff. And so I try and reassure people that I'm not going to see the deep, dark secrets of what they have going on. So. And people who do come in really do appreciate being seen. It's so freeing to be seen and not judged.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's kind of at the surface of our deepest longing. You know, we want to be truly seen. We want to be loved. We want to be accepted, included, and belonging. But then we have that fear that when you really truly see me, you'll see all my deep, dark secrets. You'll see my inadequacies. You'll see where I've goofed up or whatever, and you will find me wanting, that I'm not good enough.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, that's absolutely. I think we all wrestle with that a little bit.
So, you know, you and I have talked outside of the retreat and outside of our conversation today about some of the other people that I'm connected with who do some similar kinds of work that you do. But I don't know that I have a real accurate understanding of what you do as an energy healer. So will you describe it to me, what you do and how it works?
Sure. Just a little background. I studied energy work with a mentor in a program called Healing Touch. And I liked Healing Touch because they have a really strong code of ethics, and they have a very defined scope of practice of what you can do. And I really respected that. So I did study under that program. The client lays on a massage table, fully clothed. You can have a blanket on, that kind of thing. So we talk first about your history and who you are and where you're coming from. The purpose is that as you're laying there with my hands, so some energy workers hear things, some see, and some are sensory. So with my hands, I light touch and off the body touch, I will sense your energy. So I sense the energy centers or the chakras that are in your body, and I sense if those are healthy, I sense if they're moving. And then I work with those. I sense the bioenergetic human field that comes off of us, that rises off of us. And I can sense with my hands and my intuition that there's there might be heat or irritation in that field. And then I open with a open-hearted intention with my hands, I move that out of your field. Then I spend a lot of time running energy through your field. So through your legs and through your arms and through your torso and opening things up. So clear, open, and balance the human energy field. And what that does is it opens up that, it opens you up to lean towards wellness. So I don't go in and heal. I open you up so you become more available to yourself. And so that you do, there is some of that, there is a weight lifted off. And so you can think more clearly. And I mean, I have people that leave and say, I feel like I've just lost 10 pounds. And so that is kind of the basics of what happens. And then when you become lighter, when that congestion is cleared out, you are able to look more clearly at yourself and to make changes and to look at your habits and to change habits. And the Healing Touch energy work is, it is used for a huge variety of things. It can be physical pain. It can be, it's great for anxiety and depression. It's great for pre-op and post-op chemotherapy side effects, that kind of thing. Each session is unique for each person. And I have people who come in every couple of weeks. And each session for them, it's always something different, always something unique. And so you open yourself up to universal energy. And it can be subtle, it can be intense, but change always happens. So that's kind of the basics of what happens on the table.
So it might be emotional, mental stress, stuckness, anxiety, fear, but it also might be physical, actual pain.
Yes, I have a lot of clients I work with, carpal tunnel. I work with back pain, headaches, you know, knee, ankle injuries and pain and that kind of thing. And that is a lot of that kind of stuff. The pain comes a lot from energy being stuck. And once that energy is cleared and it's free to move, often that pain is reduced.
That's really fascinating. Like, so how do you, I don't even know what to ask you.
How do you train for it? You train by, there's a lot of opening. So it's not really me that does the work. I clear myself as much as I can, my ego as much as I can. I clear that out of myself. I open up to the vibration, to universal energy, to light. And then I make myself available. And with intention, I allow the energy to work through me and to work through me and into the person I'm working on. And it really is not me. It's the guides. It's an openness and it's intention. You know, the mind, it creates reality. And so if, you know, we like to think of reality is something hard, like a desk. We can see it. It's low vibration. But our thoughts, we can't see. But just because they're high vibration, just because we can't see our thoughts doesn't mean they are not as real as a desk or a chair or a car. And so I open my mind to the thought process of, I would like for this person to have healing on whatever level is needed. So does that make sense? Does that help at all?
Yes. Yes. And, you know, probably 12 years ago, 10 years ago, I would have thought that you were like woo-woo, hocus pocus, but I've learned a lot about, I guess it's quantum physics, really, or is it quantum mechanics? I never get the two correct.
It's quantum physics.
You know, everything in Everything in the universe is made of energy. It's constantly moving into and out of form. You can't create it. You can't destroy it. And everything is vibrating at some frequency. And so it, you know, like I said before, it wouldn't have made sense to me, but now it really does. And I think it's, you know, kind of an eye-opening lesson for people to recognize that. And I think we all have some sense of it because almost everybody I know could tell you a story about walking into a room, a meeting, a party, you know, some kind of space or whatever, and go, oh yeah, the vibe was just wrong. I had to get out of there.
Exactly.
And so we are in tune with the vibrational frequencies of the things and the spaces and the people, the energy around us, mm-hmm. but we're not always consciously aware that that's what that is. And so being able to tune into it and use it is hugely powerful.
It is very powerful because you realize that what you think can change the vibration of what's around you. And how you think matters. They're one of my favorite books that helped me understand this is called The Field by Lynn McTaggart. And she's not a quantum physicist, but she interviewed and worked with quantum physics and physicists. And that book was amazing to me because it does make you realize that we are vibration. And everything is vibration, and we are always interacting all the time with everything around us. And what we think can change our vibrational patterns. And that was one of my very eye-opening books. And then another person that I really like to listen to is Bruce Lipton, and his stuff that I like to listen to is called The Biology of Belief. And he yes. believes that you can change your biology with your thoughts. And what we think is what we become. And that comes into play in the energy work because I see the client on my table as whole. And I see them as high vibration. So I intentionally work on changing their vibrational patterns to be effective and to be positive and for change and for whatever is best that they need at that time.
That sounds like you said, some of your clients come in every week or every couple of weeks. I mean, that sounds like something you'd really want a hit of as often as you could get it.
Yes. And I think I know for a fact that I have people that come in and are they making big changes in their life right now that are very noticeable? Maybe not, but they come in and say, I just need that awareness. I just need to be conscious for a while. I need that hour of mindfulness. I want to feel the expansion of my energy field. And they just come in specifically for that. They're very honest about that. I'm not looking for big change. It just feels so good I find myself while I'm on the table.
This has been just truly eye-opening, delightful, fabulous conversation. So as we wrap up, is there any just one closing thing you'd like to share?
Oh gosh, have fun with it. Enjoy the change. Try to find joy in the change. I believe that we're here to find joy and it shouldn't be such hard work. So have a sense of humor about yourself. Know that you're just human and that you have all those foibles and love yourself for that. But try to find joy in the little things that happen every day.
I love it. Great advice for everyday life. Absolutely. So how can people find you?
Well, I am in Fayetteville, West Virginia, but my website is shiftenergywork.com. And my email is Kyle Heater, and that's HEETER @gmail.com. So I can be reached those two ways for any kind of questions or discussion or anything like that.
Excellent. I have to confess that there were so many other paths I wanted to go down today, Kyle. So don't be surprised if I call you back and ask you for some more time.
That would be great. You know, I was pretty nervous about this, but now I'm excited. So that would be great. I'd love to do it again.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for today. Thank you for making the time to listen in on today's episode of Making Space for Conversations That Matter. I hope you enjoyed it so much that you'll subscribe if you haven't already. And please leave us a review so others will know why it's worth a listen. For more information and to connect with me, leave your comments at lauraprisk.com/podcasts or send me an email at laura@laurapriske.com. Also, if you know someone who would be an interesting guest on the show, send me their name and I'll see what I can do. Thanks again for listening and have an intentional day.